Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath services. Now that we have finished the Feast of Unleavened Bread, we'll start counting down toward Pentecost, which then will be on the 19th of May. There are going to be a lot of things that are going to be happening that are going to be very surprising, unexpected, and shocking. So today, I want to talk about some things that will be very difficult to talk about, but I don't want to scare you, but I want you to know that these things are coming, and they will happen, because the Word of God says so, and everything that we see out there tells us, yes, it is going to happen. Now, I've had so much news this past 2 weeks, it is incredible, but let's first of all look at some scriptures so we can understand how we need to function. And let's come to 1 Corinthians 10. And here is a prophecy. It was a statement for them at that time, but it is a prophecy for us today. And as we're turning there, remember Jesus told the apostles that he would be with them until the end of the age. 1 Corinthians 10. Now, we covered this during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, so I just want to focus on one key verse here, which has to do with us. Verse 11, because a lot of the things we're going to read in the Old Testament are going to happen just in the same way that it happened to Israel and Judah, and it's going to happen to us in particularly, because as a nation, the United States brought God into their constitution. And so whenever you bring God into something, you have to have your yes be yes and your no be no. And if you come to God and look for his blessing, and you don't do the things to receive his blessings, then don't complain against God. Now verse 11 says, now all these things happened to them to them as examples and were written for our admonition on whom the ends of the earth are coming. And we know the Word of God is true. We know the Word of God is sure. We have seen that many, many times over. Now we are living in the end times and it is difficult. And here's the most difficult thing about it as you see. Let's come here to Matthew 24. And there's also an encouragement for us. Now, I'm bringing these things out to you so you will be able to have understanding beyond the next few months and weeks and the next couple of years. Because many of the things that we are going to discuss will take several years to really come about. But nevertheless, it's much like what happened in certain ways, because God's word tells it beforehand, before it happens, as a witness, so that we know. And there are many witnesses out there. Okay? Here's the key thing. Verse 10, let's pick it up right here. Verse 10. Then shall be many be led into sin. And they are led into sin because they allow their teachers and leaders and government to do it. And they acquiesce to it. And they participate in it. And shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And isn't that what we have today? Nothing can be done in Washington, D.C., because everybody hates the Republicans. Now, here's another cause, and this is rampant today. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Now, I'm going to bring some sermons on that. And you won't believe what they have done to the Bible and the New Testament, but I'll save that for that sermon. Suffice to say that they have done more to destroy the Bible, the authenticity of the scriptures, in these last days than they have done for all the centuries leading up to this time. And now it becomes acceptable. Verse 12. And because lawlessness shall be multiplied. Well, it's just like this. Someone handed me a news clipping here, which is very interesting. If guns kill people, how does anyone get out of a gun show alive? See, those are political agendas to put shackles on people. Has nothing to do with guns. It has absolutely to do with control and absolutely to do with bringing lawlessness down upon people. Because lawlessness shall be multiplied. Now, we're about ready to have that multiplied. It may take a few months for the Supreme Court to get through it. But we're going to see the two greatest problems that are facing us are, number one, sex problems and morals, because we've rejected God. And number two, economic problems that are going to make past economic problems look like little children playing with Tinker Toys and Erector Sets and what are those little plastic things that they make things out of today?
Legos.
Legos. That tells you how far back my childhood goes. Okay. Okay. The love of many shall grow cold. And that defines the one big problem of abortion. Now, granted, there are some states really trying to do as much as they can under the constraints of the lawless United States versus Jane Doe, Roe versus Wade. Yeah, okay. They're trying to do it. I think the best that they have done was to, I think, in the state of North Dakota, and isn't it interesting, in the states that follow the things that are right and ignore the blither coming out of Washington, D.C., and out of New York City with the financial gurus, etc., that they're developing their own resources, their own oil. They have less than 3% unemployment, and they have enacted legislation that there cannot be an abortion if the heartbeat of the infant is detected. Now, that's getting it down to about 26 days. Okay? So there are some out there. There are some who are trying. There are some Protestant ministers who fit into the category, as Jesus said, if they are not against us, they are on our part. But that doesn't mean they have salvation. That just means they have a certain sense against lawlessness that the others do not have. Then there are those who are against Christ, though they profess Christ. So we have all that mix in there. And in the states that are most lawless, California, New York, Illinois, New Jersey, Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine, Washington, D.C., those states are filled with violence. They have the highest abortion rate, the highest murder rate, and it's all because of sinning against God. We won't see that. But notice what it says here, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be proclaimed in all the world for a witness to all nations, and then the end shall come. Now, let's understand there are many out there preaching the gospel. And there are other things going on, which until I went down and visited with Randy Vild here before last Sabbath, that they have websites where they have the Bible digitized, available to download, and they have it read. You can hear it. And those websites, there are a lot of them. So when it says in Mark 13 in verse 10, that this gospel shall first be published in all the world, then shall the end come. God is doing it in a tremendous way. We're not to be so vain and stupid as to think that God is just restricted to the churches or God or a particular church of God, because you can know for sure God's correction is going to come if you think that. So wherever any minister is, he needs to be teaching and preaching the word of God, because that's going to be used as a witness. Okay? Now let's come back here to Micah, the third chapter. And let's see how all of this comes about. Let's see what happens. And remember, there are always the lies, the sleight of hand. And let's throw in the mix ministers, government officials, and public school teachers, schools, and universities, as well as the scientific community believing in the theory of evolution. So there are going to be some things that are going to be coming along here pretty quick. Very interesting comment by Guillermo. In the last 2 years, his neighborhood has become a killing ground, and people half a block away are shot and killed, and they have trained themselves and they are experts in it. And all of this lays right at the doorstep of the religious teachers, the schools, the parents, and all combined together. And now what happens is, since there's not enough tax money, they can't have as many police. So in certain cities, especially like Chicago, they've just had to have the unspoken policy, well, let the gangs kill each other and that'll solve the problem for us. Sooner or later, they'll run out of gang members. What else can you conclude? We have intractable problems that cannot be solved without mass repentance, beginning with the president, the Congress, all the governors, all of the state houses, all of the teachers, all of the unions. See, because these things come because of sin. Now, let's come here to Micah, the third chapter, and we will see it. So God has given warning. The Bible is out there. There are people warning, secular people, religious people. And I said, hear, I pray you, O heads of Jacob and magistrates of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know justice? You who hate the good and love the evil, who tear the skin off my people and strip the flesh from their bones, you also eat the flesh of my people and tear their skin off them and break their bones and chop them up into pieces like meat for the pot and like flesh for the cauldron. That's how a lot of people feel. Just last week, 500,000 people quit looking for work. There is no work because of the evil of this government and the evil of the people. That's why we have big-time problems, and they're only going to be solved with big-time repentance. Verse 4, then they shall cry to the Lord, but he will not answer them. He will even hide his face from them at that time, as they have done evil in their doings. Thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who mislead the people. Many shall be led into sin, who bite with their teeth and cry peace, and even prepare war against those who do not put something in their mouths. Yes, and don't we have that? I had a man write and say, why is it that all of these television preachers are asking for money, and then they draw down all these high salaries, you know, drive these mammoth cars. You know, they have a hard time hiding their Rolls Royce under the guise of a Volkswagen Beetle. You know, they do. All right? See how God's word talks to us today? Therefore, night shall be to you without a vision, and darkness and not divination. And the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be darkness over them. And isn't that true? I got a letter from a woman who's had to go back to take care of her mother because her father just died, and this is up in the New York area. And when she was a girl growing up there, they went to the Methodist church, and they had overflowing two services every Sunday. And people were really trying to do good back in those days. You know, that's like 50, 60 years ago. She said, it's pitiful. She said she goes to church with her mother, and there are only four, five, six old people limping in. And the only thing that keeps the church going is they rent it out to one of these Pentecostal groups. Pitiful. And the seers shall be ashamed. Now, we have economic seers, we have political seers, and we have false prophets. And the diviners confounded. Yea, they shall all cover their mouths, for there is no answer from God. But truly, Micah says, I am full of the power by the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment and of might to declare to Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. And if we don't preach repentance, and if we don't preach against the sin and do so in a convicting way, then God is going to hold us responsible. We'll see that in just a bit. So he says, verse 9, hear this, I pray you, you heads of the house of Jacob, and magistrates of the house of Israel who hate judgment and pervert all equity. Oh, yes, all the Democratic senators now except three have endorsed gay marriage for political power. Likewise with Hillary Billery. Can you imagine if you think that Obama's a disaster as a president? All of this is because people have no judgment, people live in sin, people have no knowledge of God, and they don't want the knowledge of God. They build up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. Her heads judge for a bribe, and her priests teach for pay. Her prophets divine for silver. Yet they will lean on the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? No evil can come upon us. And that's what they said. When you read the book of Jeremiah, you see all those false prophets, that's what they said. Okay? Now let's come back to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 33. Now, no one likes to hear warnings against death, doom, gloom, and disaster. But what do you suppose would happen if we don't tell the people? Now, there are a lot of people out there warning. I'm going to read some of these warnings to you. I'm going to read economic warnings. I am going to read abortion warnings. I'm going to read sex education warnings. And these are the things that are taking down the nation. See, we started out blessed of God. And it says in the Bible, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And remember when you read the book of Job, Satan came up to God and said, well, Job, he doesn't obey you for nothing. You put a hedge about him. Take away the hedge. Take away what he has and he will curse you to your face. Well, I think that Jonathan, what was his name, Jonathan Kahn, yeah, he was exactly right when he said 9/11, the hedge was lifted. Exactly right, okay? Ezekiel 33, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when I bring the sword upon the land and the people of the land take a man from among them and set him for their watchman, if when he sees the sword come upon the land, he blows the horn and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the ram's horn and does not take warning, if the sword does come and take him away, his blood shall be upon him. He heard the sound of the ram's horn and did not take warning. I'm going to give you just a little preview. Before the sword comes, comes economic disaster. I had a man write me and say, what am I going to do to save my savings? Well, I'll tell you what a woman did when she found out after a whole year with her checking account. She was given the interest payment of the great sum of 76 cents. And blank, the bank clerk said to her, you might as well take your money home and put it under the mattress. Mm-hmm. All right, little sidebar. Cyprus was a test. It was the beginning of what is going to happen everywhere. Do you need to understand that? All right, verse 6. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the ram's horn and the people are not warned, if the sword comes and takes any person from among them and he is taken away in his iniquity, I will require his blood at the watchman's hand. See, God told us. Anyone who preaches from the Bible, God tells us we better preach the word. We better bring the warning. Now, when I resigned from WCG in 1979, and God inspired me to say, and I take no credit for it, that if there is not repentance at the headquarters of this church, that the forces are going to be set in motion which will tear this church asunder, that was about 15 years before it occurred. But it did happen. And he says, verse 7, and you, son of man, I have set you as a watchman to the house of Israel. I'm not trying to say I'm a watchman, Ezekiel, watchman to Israel. I'm saying there better be many watchmen on the wall because the wall is long and big and covers a lot of territory, and we all better be watching. Therefore, you shall hear the word from my mouth and warn them from me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die. If you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that the wicked one shall die in his iniquity, but I will require his blood at your hand. Every minister better hear in fear. But if you warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. And you, son of man, speak to the house of Israel, saying, thus shall you speak, saying, when our transgressions and our sins are upon us and we are wasting away in them, how then shall we live? And that is exactly where we are today. Right there with this verse 10. How are we going to get along? Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, I have no delight in the death of the wicked. God does it because of his judgments. He does it because of his laws, but he does not delight in bringing this kind of correction and evil upon people. And the final proof of that is the second resurrection. I have no delight in the death of the wicked, except that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn you from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel? Then he gives other warnings. All right. Let me read you just a couple things that are going to happen. Okay, what happened in Cyprus is called a bail-in. And it was a test. All of those who had more than 100,000 euros in the bank forfeited 40% of their money. Now, it may go as high as 60%. Oh, but the bank is real good and generous. They're going to give you stock in the bank. Isn't that wondrous? Okay. And you saw the riots? And you saw the people trying to get their money? See, they knew there would be the riots. They knew that this would take place. And they said, well, we're going to open on Tuesday. Then over the weekend said, well, we can't open until Thursday. And then on Tuesday they said, well, we can't open for another week. And so when they finally opened, they could only get a little bit of money. Now, as I'm going along here, I'm going to tell everyone this. It's not going to happen next week or next month or next year, but you better be ready. you better prepare some things physically. And don't ask me what to get and how to prepare. If you can't figure it out, that's your problem. And you better first be right with God, because you need the protection of his angels, Psalm 91. So the man who leaves his money in the bank, like one man years ago, he called a gold dealer and said, I've got $250,000 in the bank. What should I do with it? He says, buy gold, get out of the bank. Never did it. All right, here's another one. Global elite are very clearly telling us that they plan to raid our bank accounts. Another one of it. Okay? A lot of that. Okay, now here's another report I'll cover here in just a little bit. All right, so you have a good bank. You have a few gold and silver coins put away in a safety deposit vault in your bank. Guess what? U.S. Department of Homeland Security has told banks in writing it may inspect safe deposit vaults and boxes without warrants and confiscate anything they find if you are on the terror list. Guess who's listed on the terror list? Those who believe in the Bible and expect the return of Jesus Christ. So if you get out of the paper money and you get into other things, you better do it quietly. You better keep it in a safe place, not in a safety deposit vault. Okay? Here's another one. Why the world economy is doomed. How many remembered when I said back in 2008 that the forming of the G20 was to coordinate all the central banks together so they would all get on the same page and they would eventually collapse all paper currencies at once and bring in a single global currency and eventually the mark of the beast? Remember that? We're getting close. All right. Now, then there's another one here, that in case the bank shut down, they're going to only be open a few hours a day, have fewer clerks, and you're going to be restricted in getting any money. Think about all those people on Cyprus that had mortgage payments, that had car payments, that had all of those things, and they couldn't get any money for 2 weeks. And then they were restricted to $300 a day and businesses $5,000 a day. Then here are some things concerning the Homeland Security. They've ordered 1.3 billion bullets, and they have ordered 30,000 drones and 2,900 armored vehicles. Let's go on. Now then, FEMA, Federal Emergency Management Agency, which can't manage any emergency, says, get a survival kit. See? Now let me find something else here, just a minute, and we will have it. Now let me read you something from here. Why the world economy is doomed. Now, let me explain to you first before we get into this, and I'll bring it out a little bit later. There is some hint of recovery, like in the housing market. However, what they're not telling you is, for the high-end houses, they're all cash deals from the Chinese buying them. Now, this gets the house off the market, the loan is paid off, but it doesn't help the economy because no new loan is put against the house. So it's a false recovery. It is the eating inside of the vitals of the nation with their purchase of things by cash in banks, in businesses, in homes, in toll roads. My, wouldn't that be convenient to buy a main toll road? Now, you need to put all the pieces together. Why the world economy is doomed. How can absolutely so many people be certain that the world financial system is going to crash? Remember the sermons I gave on the day the dollar crashed? You remember those? You better go back and listen to them because it's going to happen. Well, the truth is that when you take a look at the cold, hard facts, it is not difficult to see why the global financial pyramid scheme is destined to fall. In the United States today, there is approximately $56 trillion of total debt in our financial system. Now, that's just the financial system, but there are only $9 trillion in our bank accounts. So even if they confiscated all of it, and remember this, the borrower is the slave of the lender, and the vicious lenders who are the super elite very rarely do not collect. So you could take every penny out of the banks, multiply it by six, and you still would not have enough money to pay off all our debts. Overall, there is about $190 trillion of total debt on this planet and increasing every day. But global GDP is only about $70 trillion. The total notional value of all derivatives. Now, derivatives are the house of cards. Derivatives are this wondrous domino, what do they call it, cascade? Yes. Once it starts, because it's a bet on a bet on a bet on a bet. All right. Total value of derivatives around the globe is somewhere between, hold your breath, $600 trillion and $1,500 trillion. We have a gigantic problem on our hands. The global financial system is a very shaky house of cards that has been constructed on a foundation of debt, leverage, and incredibly risky derivatives. Now then, how many here keep up on any financial things? How many have watched what's happening in Japan? Japan has had 23 years of deflation. Now they are trying to get out of their deflation by devaluing the yen. So here's an article. Forget Cyprus, Japan is the real crisis. A much larger story in the coming weeks and months will be in Japan, where one of the greatest economic experiments in the modern era is about to begin. A country where government debt even dwarfs those of the European crisis-ridden nations. Japan will attempt to inflate its way out of a 23-year deflationary spiral, and it will collapse. All right? Now, what's China going to do? This is the interesting thing. And even the Bank of England is in on this with China. Now, let me tell you one thing. If you watch ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, and CNBC, and Bloomington, you are not going to get the true facts. You will get some of it on Fox. You will get a little more on Fox Business. If you read your paper, it won't tell you anything because there's nothing in the paper about it. Dolores asks me every day, do you want to read the paper? Well, I look at it a little bit, but there's nothing in it. There is no value because they couldn't dare print it. So the Bank of England is now going to do a direct swap line with China. Now here's China sitting there with all these U.S. Treasury bonds, trillions of dollars worth. Now, they're going to be very smart about it. They are not going to just say, oh, well, take these back. We aren't going to buy anymore. They'll keep buying. But here's what they are going to do. And I will tell you what it's going to finance and how it's going to be done. How many sermons have I given saying how China is going to rise? And how many times have I said that they're going to use U.S. Treasury bonds to finance it? That's exactly what they're going to do, and the Bank of England and other banks are going to facilitate it, and that's how they're going to get rid of all of their U.S. Treasury certificates. They will send them to the Bank of England and the international banks, and they will use those T-bills to collateralize the industrialization of the rest of China, to put in their high-speed rails from China to Europe and from China to the Mediterranean, to build up their armies, to build roads, to build pipelines, to go into Afghanistan and take out the iron and take out the zinc and take out the steel and take out the gold and take out the silver and take out the rare earth minerals. They're going to use these T-bills to finance pipelines. Russia's going to do the same thing, to send gas down through Kazakhstan, down through Afghanistan, down through Pakistan, and on over to India. Furthermore, Russia, China, Brazil, and India, called the BRICS nations, are setting up an international trading bank based upon certified gold deposits. And if you saw on the news, how many saw on the news, the agreement between Australia and China? Did you see that on the news? Well, if you watch ABC, NBC, CBS, and CNN, they wouldn't tell you that. See, because in the world financial system, since everything is dependent upon the dollar, all these nations would first have to buy dollars before they could trade. But with direct agreements with China, they bypass the dollar, they bypass the brokers, they bypass the commission of the banks, and they deal directly with each other. And when they set it up on the basis of gold, those gold certificates will be the new norm for trade. Now, what do you think that's going to do to the dollar? That is, it costs more to print them than they are actually worth. And I've got a big report on that. Tells exactly how they're going to do it. All right. Now, does that not set up what says there in Deuteronomy 28 that you shall borrow from many nations and you will become the tail? You will be brought down and oppressed. We can become a third world country just like that. We already have a mass reservoir of those who can't work. All right, so now we can blame the government. We can blame the finances. Now let's see what's happening with the people. So let's first take a break, and we'll come right back.